You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
Neil Wagner is writer and illustrator of the comic strip and blog What on Earth, in which he uses humor to discuss global warming and other pressing environmental issues. What on Earth is part of NPR's Science Friday program. Thanks for speaking with me today, Neil.
Oh, thanks for having me here today. I appreciate it.
So how long have you been an illustrator?
Probably like a lot of people who are artists, I started drawing as soon as I could hold a pencil. Always really gravitated towards cartooning. And then through high school and college, I, in addition to art classes, of course, I had a comic strip in the paper and was the art editor. And professionally, I've been a creative director for my career, but always kept an interest in comic strips along the way.
How did you get interested in comic strips as a way of communicating science in particular?
Along with my interest, cartooning, my lifelong interest in that, as an adult, became increasingly concerned about global warming. And one day, those two concepts literally just collided in my head at the same time. And I thought, global warming comic strip. It's like the old joke, it's so crazy, it just might work. And as I began developing it, I saw that opportunity, that it actually was a very good combination. And you'll hear environmentalists increasingly talk about how important it is for scientists, environmentalists to do a better job of communicating the topic of global warming to the public. And I felt that comic strips are really a good avenue for that because it's engaging, it's humorous. Ideally, if it's a comic strip people enjoy, it's kind of a destination. They can take a minute every day and enjoy it and still get a little bit of information out of it. And hopefully that will work to whet their appetite to learn more about it.
So that sounds like it was a true eureka moment for you.
It really was. I mean, it's the only time maybe in my life I can remember specifically the second that thoughts came together and the whole concept of characters and virtually the whole thing came together very quickly. And it made sense to me. So I just ran with it.
Bebo and Keto, the main characters in your comic, are pretty adorable. How did you come up with them?
Well, I knew, again, right out of the gate that I wanted it to be a pretty traditional character-driven comic strip rather than, I guess you could say, more academic. And that's part of the way I wanted it to be very engaging to people. So I figured it would probably make sense to have two characters that would represent the two prevailing opinions that people tend to have now about climate change, that it's very likely a serious threat, or they just don't think it's really happening, at least not at a serious level. I also thought pretty early on that it would make sense to have the characters living in the Arctic, because you're right at ground zero there. And it would also kind of serve as a metaphor for the population at large, that even though we're all living with it and we're right here in it, we have different opinions about climate change. And then I also have to give a shout out to my daughter, Rena. When she was 4 and 5, basically every stuffed animal, every duo of stuffed animals she had were Bebo and Keto. So I swiped the names from her.
So cute. And just for our listeners, can you describe what the characters are?
Sure. Originally, I thought of having them both be possibly penguins, which of course would be in Antarctica, but thought it'd be a lot better to have them be different types of animals and move them up to the Arctic. And Bebo is a polar bear, and he is the guy that is concerned about global warming and understands the topic and likes talking about it. And then his very good friend Keto is a horned puffin, and he is skeptical, to say the least, that humans are inducing climate change.
Your blog contributes nicely to Science Friday because you focus so much on making science accessible and entertaining for all audiences. What is your favorite or perhaps most challenging part of translating complex research into bite-sized nuggets of valuable information?
Well, I got to say, I really do enjoy the entire process. I kind of break down a comic strip into three components. One is just getting the idea in the first place. The second would be writing the joke well, and then the third is drawing. Having been somebody that's been a cartoonist my whole life, I love the drawing. That's a given. As far as coming up with ideas, there's a million ideas out there. There's always development, so that's not a problem as far as finding something to write the comic strip about. But the biggest challenge is paring down the information to where you're not ruining the integrity of what you're trying to say, but being able to do it in what obviously is a very concise way. And I guess you could say it's stressful, but it's a good kind of stress. I really enjoy that idea of constantly tinkering with the wording so that I can make it as streamlined as possible.
Well, I have to bring up the cliche that a picture is worth a thousand words. Speaking very broadly, in what ways do illustrations relay a message that words cannot reach or do not get at the issue quite as effectively?
Well, most specifically, it would be, or more commonly in the What on Earth, I would say it's when you're trying to show a system or some kind of a positive feedback loop or some kind of cycle happening where, with words, you would have to probably use a couple of paragraphs. But in that case, I really just use one of the cartoon panels as a chart. And you could see the sun. I could even put, you know, the typical cartoon smiling sun, and the beams come down, the ultraviolet waves. They either bounce off and go out of the universe, or they get absorbed by the Earth, and then infrared waves radiate out. You know, I can do all that in one drawing.
What role does humor play in your comic strip?
I think that's very important. I always want the artwork to be very entertaining, and I do work very, very hard to try to have the jokes just in their own right, sit on their own and entertain people. Because I think that's the draw. That's the idea behind it, is rather than come across as dry or preachy, I want people to really just enjoy it, just for the sake of it being a humorous comic strip. And then as they're reading it, like I say, I work very hard to have legitimate information in there. And that's, like I say, that's kind of the draw to bring people in and start learning about it.
Do you see your comic strip as reaching a younger audience as well?
I think it can appeal on that comic strip level, as a pure comic strip, to a pretty young age. My kids now, my son Alex is in fifth grade, and he's learning about global warming in school, and he knows the comic strip, so he can understand some of the basic concepts. My daughter, it's more just on the comic strip level. As far as understanding the science, I'm thinking you probably would have to be in the middle grades, at least as the comic strip stands in its present form. But as far as it having a place in changing our culture, not to sound too grandiose, but as far as it having some opportunity to change how our society views it, kids can grow up reading it in a way that they can enjoy and understand. And as they get older, they start, you know, this has been part of their mindset for as long as they've been reading the comic strip. So I'd like to think it would have the opportunity to do that.
That was sort of my second question, actually. The advantages that a comic strip like this would have on the youth who are growing up with it. Environmental issues are going to be more ingrained in their everyday lives if they're interested in it from a young age and continue to be interested in it.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, you could talk about Al Gore or Bill McKibben or James Hansen of NASA. They all talk about how important it is to get the information out there in a way that the public can understand. What better way to do it than start from day one, have people have a grasp with it, or an interest in it, at least.
It was really nice talking with you today.
Great talking with you. Thank you.
I'm Katie Klein, and that was cartoonist Neil Wagner discussing the role of comic strips in communicating climate change.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.